Today's Namaste Yoga are the yoga poses you avoid the most. And welcome to episode 319 of Namaste Yoga. Thank you so much for joining us and welcoming me into your home as we journey into our innermost home over the next hour. I'm really excited about this class because this morning I got up and I hadn't written the class yet. We've had a full week. I had a meeting with our membership leaders yesterday, and then I went to a yoga class yesterday, and that's when I usually write the class. It was on Tuesdays, so I hadn't gotten to it until today. And today's class is on aversion. And so aversion shows up a lot in our yoga mats. And so I decided to just ask you on Facebook, what are the yoga poses you avoid the most? And wow, holy cow, I got a ton of answers. In fact, I got so many answers and they're still coming in like crazy. I mean, if we left my Facebook notifications on right now, you would hear beep, 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 because people are responding like not so crazy. There are so many answers that we are probably going to do two classes on this topic. Oh. Yeah. I think it's exciting. I like this idea of staying with a topic for longer. It's something that the longer I've been teaching, I don't feel a need to get everything in right away. I know I'm going to be with you for a long time, and so we can stay with things for longer. So there are lots of poses that you avoid, and I know the ones that are showing up for you are often ones that I avoid as well. So I think I'm seeing there are some commonalities in the responses. So I'm going to do this for 2 weeks, and I have some testimonials and some things to share with you. One of the things that I love doing is sending mail, and I love receiving mail. And so Tim's going to put our address. We have a P.O. box here across. So if you ever want to send me anything, you can. That was one of the things that we did when we moved to Victoria, was set up a P.O. box because, we want you to be able to send us stuff. When we lived in Toronto, we didn't have that set up. And it's just as a matter of safety so that, you know, we have some privacy about where we live, but you can still access us. You know, we have that full access. But this week I received a really beautiful card from Diane for my birthday, which was this month in February. And she said, your journey, this card is really beautiful. I don't know who makes these cards. It's a Kathy Davis card. She's an artist who does expressive painting, hand lettering style, and heartfelt messages. So I'm going to have to look her up. Really beautiful artist and hand lettering. I like her hand lettering a lot. It says, your journey is like no other. Your talents are unique to you. Your gifts can make a difference in ways that others can't. Wishing you a very happy birthday and a year that brings you many opportunities to make a difference just by being you. And Diane says, love and blessings to my one and only favorite yoga teacher. So that was really nice to get in the mail. And Diane sent this to me, and it's really special because when I interviewed Diane for our membership community, we do these just like me interviews in our membership community. You can be happy I'm rambling today because we're avoiding getting to the poses that you like to avoid. And when I interviewed her, she had this hanging on her wall behind her, and I went gaga nuts for it. And she sent me one. I think it's identical to the one she had hanging behind her. It's just gorgeous. Tell me if you want me to hang it on the set behind us, because we could just tack it onto the center here. But it's a Ganesh. I love the colors. And the thing that I really love about it is it's bedazzled. I don't know a better word than that to say. bejeweled. It's got lots of sequins on it. And even in addition to the sequins, it's got these little more sequiny things that hang from it. So it's just, it's perfect. It's really nice. Anyway, I'm at a bit of a loss of how to hang it. I almost want to put it in a frame. I don't know what to do with it. So tell me what we should do with it. Give me your suggestions for that in the comments. But I want to put it up because it's so gorgeous. Okay, and also, I just wanted to thank you all so much for your response to the vlogging. I started vlogging on my other channel, Living Your Yoga. Tim will also put that across the bottom so you can subscribe to that channel. I just started, I love vlogs. I started videotaping clips from my week because I felt like I had something to add to the vlogosphere, even though there are so many people vlogging. I just felt that the way a yogi lives is so much different from the way everybody else lives, that I felt like I had something to add to the mix. And so many of you respond so positively to our behind the scenes videos and behind the scenes photos, and you like the more personal videos. And so I went ahead and did it. I started filming short clips for my week, and we put them all together for me, and he put together my first vlog for me. And the response has been berserko crazy. People have been responding. They love it. So Aurora on YouTube said, "I'm so glad you started this, Melissa. I've always wanted to hang out with you." So a lot of people commented about how it was like hanging out with me. Thank you, Tim and Trinity, also for taking the time to do this. So you get to see Tim and Trinity in them too, because, you know, they're part of my life. It's a blessing to have you as a teacher. I loved it. And then Sharon sent me this email. She said, "Hello, Melissa. I've just started watching some of your videos and I'm enjoying them. I do a couple of classes a week at a studio and 3 or 4 sessions online. I loved your vlog. It makes me feel like I'm getting to know you a little more." And then there were just pages and pages of comments about the vlog on our membership community, loads of comments on YouTube. So thank you all for your response. It really encourages me to keep going with that. And they come out every Monday. So I just film little events throughout the week, little shots from like right before this. I filmed the behind the scenes of setting up our apartment for filming. I won't ramble on because I want to get to the class, but you can see it. Subscribe to the Living Your Yoga channel so that you get those every Monday. Okay, let's get started. We're going to do hand to big toe pose to begin. So you're going to lie on your back. So you're going to lie down on your back, and you'll need us. Oh, geez. Okay. We're going to need today for props. You're going to need your strap, your blocks, and your mat and a wall. And maybe a meditation cushion and a chair. So take your strap and place it around the ball of your foot, not the arch of your foot. You're going to lie down on your back if you're not already. If you have any back issues, keep your left leg bent and extend through your right leg. If you don't have any back issues, then please do extend through your left leg. That's going to prepare you better for one of the yoga poses that I heard many of you avoid the most, which is Trikonasana, triangle pose, and revolved triangle pose. So let's just take a deep breath here in through your nose. Let it fall out of your mouth. And allow yourself to sink into the ground. Feel your shoulders heavy on the ground, your rib cage heavy on the ground, your pelvis and your leg reach down and out through your left heel. Okay. And then sink down heavy through your left hip bone and open your right leg out to the side. You want to feel the stretch in the belly of your inner thigh, but not in your right knee. So back off if you feel it in your knee. So here, especially if you take your arm out to the side, if you've got a nice long strap, and the dusky leaf straps are really nice and long, you're preparing your body quite nicely for triangle pose. And then draw your leg back to the center. And you're going to cross your leg over the midline. And if there is a pose that any of you avoid, including myself, more than triangle pose, it would probably be revolved triangle pose. This is a great pose to prepare for revolved triangle pose. And especially if you can keep drawing your leg in and take your arms out to the side. So you're essentially doing the pose, but lying on your back. And then draw your right leg back to the center and lower it down. Just take a moment to feel the difference between the right and left side of your body. And then you're going to hook up the ball of your left foot, so avoid the arch of your left foot. And lift your left leg up, breathing into the back of your leg here. So this pose is great for opening up the backs of your legs, your hamstrings and your calves. It also warms up your hip joint. And then open your left leg out to the side. And again, stopping, you want to feel the stretch in the belly of your inner thigh muscle, not in your knee joint. And then draw your left leg back to the center, and you're going to cross your left leg over. And then you can take your leg back to the center and then release your left leg down. And you can put your strap off to the side And just pause and feel how your legs feel lengthened and also your hips feel released. And then from here, we're going to release your shoulders a bit to prepare for shoulder stand. So shoulder stand is a pose that gets avoided a lot because it's an inversion, because people are concerned about their necks. It can be done very safely, even if you have neck injuries. So we're going to practice that pose today. You're going to hold on to your elbows. There's lots that you can do to prepare for this pose. I have a whole class on beginner poses for inversions. It may even just be a beginner pose for shoulder stand. Anyway, that's a very worthwhile class to do. I filmed it a number of years ago now, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. It's an excellent class that tells you how to prepare for inversions and shoulder stand in particular. And again, if you have low back issues, you'll want to keep your knees bent and your feet flat on the floor for this. And then circle in the other direction. Okay, so we released your shoulders, released your hips and the muscles along the backs of your legs. Gonna roll to your side and come up onto all fours. So one of the poses that Donna said that she avoids is plank pose and side plank. And I think that a lot of women, probably, maybe men too, are probably with Donna and avoiding plank pose, and probably anybody with any wrist issues, but we can do them on our forearms. Also, we can build wrist strength with them. These, I know, I find I've been avoiding these poses since dealing with frozen shoulder. My upper body's gotten quite weak since then, and so I'm with Donna with avoiding these poses now. But the thing is, they build upper body strength, and so it's important to have them in our practice. So let's do some plank pose. I'm really glad that Donna brought this up, and I think it's something that we should definitely include in our practice. They really help to build core strength and upper body strength. So we're going to start on forearms so we get rid of wrists. And then we'll build with wrists. So you're going to place your elbows underneath your shoulders. Spread your fingers nice and wide to give you a nice wide base. And then you're going to roll your shoulders back and down, so that your chest is broad and wide. And then from here, you're gonna pull your hip bones back and up. And that's good for now. That's gonna be our modified plank. You're gonna breathe into your side ribs and back, and exhale. Draw your navel up to your spine. Shaking is normal. That's your core stabilizers working. And then you're gonna slowly lower it down. And you're just gonna come down into your belly, wiggle your hips from side to side, just give yourself a little break after that. Okay, we're gonna do it again. And this time, you're going to roll your shoulders back and up, back and down. And then you're going to pull your hip bones back, and I'm going to give you the option to tuck your toes under. You can stay here, or you can lift your knees. So I'm just thinking as we're doing this, if you have slip discs or herniated discs in your back, these poses are not for you. They're contraindicative. So you should lie on your back with your knees bent, your feet flat on the floor, and do ab curls instead. Okay, and then you're going to lower down. And we're going to come up. You're going to bring your knees up underneath you. And you're going to sit back on your heels. And then you're going to roll up. And we're just going to prepare your wrists here. So you're going to circle your wrists with fists. And then with open hands. Okay, side to side is good. Light bulbs are good. Okay, and then we're going to do plank with straight arms. So if you have any wrist issues like carpal tunnel or anything like that, I would come back down onto your forearms. But otherwise, it's good to do plank on your hands so that you're building strength in your wrists. This is not a bad thing. So we're gonna build that upper body strength, and we're gonna have your hands on your shoulders. Your elbow creases are going to face each other. That creates more strength in your shoulder girdle. Take one leg back. Take the other leg back, and you're going to hold here. Inhale into your side ribs and your back. Exhale, draw your navel up to your spine. So imagine if instead of avoiding this pose every day, you did this pose every day. Like 5 breaths every day, you build strength. You get good at it. And then you're going to sit back on your heels, stretch out your back. Okay, and then you're going to roll up through your spine. So we've done 3 planks. Now we're going to do side plank, because Donna mentioned side plank too. So side plank, I think they're great for building core strength, also for building strength in your upper body. So you're going to start on your right side. Take your right elbow underneath your right shoulder. Make your body in a straight line and bend your knees back. And you want to make sure that your shoulder isn't collapsing forward, so you pull it back. And then you lift your rib cage away from your shoulder until it lifts off the ground. And you reach up. Okay, and then we're going to lower down. And then we're also going to do this with a straight arm so that you build that strength in your wrist as well, unless you have any contraindications with carpal tunnel or tendonitis or anything like that. Stay down on your elbow, and then you're going to lift up. This is a nice preparation for triangle pose too. And then we're going to lower down. Okay, so let's come and do this on the other side. So again, just imagine if you were to do those poses every day, you build your strength little by little. And it wouldn't have to take a long time. I wonder if you had some kind of cue, like every time you saw a certain commercial or watched a certain TV show or watched a certain YouTuber or something that you would do plank pose, that could be your cue. Just a thought. Okay, bend your knees back. Your body is in a straight line. You want to make sure you pull that shoulder back so that it's really safe right underneath you. And then you lift your rib cage away until your hips come off the ground and reach your top arm up. So if you're feeling this too much in your shoulder girdle, it's also because your abdominals aren't lifting up and out of your shoulder girdle enough. Okay, and then we'll also do this on your palm. So again, pull your shoulder girdle back and you're gonna lift up, reach up. And then you're gonna slowly lower down. My shoulders are feeling that now. Whew. Okay, so we're going to come to a comfortable seated position to receive the teachings today so you get a sense of the context of why we're doing these poses that you most commonly avoid. Okay, you're going to come to a comfortable seated position for you and sit in a way so that you can be alert and receive the teachings. If they resonate with you, great. If not, you can just let them go. I've got a mudra for you today for inner security. So the way that that works is you bring the backs of your palms together and you rest them between your heart center and your solar plexus, between sort of just a little lower than your breastbone and a little higher than your belly button. And you're going to close your eyes, sink back into your sit bones. Draw your ears over your shoulders. Take a deep breath in through your nose and let it fall out of your mouth. So this week we continue with the five hindrances. The five hindrances are common mental states that arise in our practice, in our lives, that can impede our yoga practice. They have been observed and taught as part of Buddhist studies. In teaching about the five hindrances, Sharon Salzberg quotes the Buddha. He says, "Our minds are naturally radiant and pure. Our minds are shining. It is because of visiting forces that we suffer." The five hindrances, grasping, aversion, sleepiness, restlessness, and doubt, are guests in our home. They're just visitors. Sharon Salzberg says that they may visit a lot or even continuously, but they are still visitors. And naturally, as human beings, we become identified with these visitors and we take them personally. We think we are right or wrong, we're good or bad, depending on who is showing up in our house on any given day. When we see ourselves as bad and horrible, these states pull us in and they distort our perception and they make us feel stuck. So aversion is anything that you don't like or don't want. And as yogis, we have plenty of opportunity to experience aversion as we confront experiences that we don't want or that we push away on our yoga mats, whether they be physical, emotional, mental, energetic, or spiritual. You may not like a yoga posture. You might feel resistance to a certain emotional tone, such as anger or frustration, or even sadness or tears or grief. You may push away the very common experience of mind that chooses to go over and over something that is bothering you. You might feel fatigue, or you may even experience some resistance to concepts that are being offered in the teachings. Aversion is most commonly described as anger, hatred, fear, jealousy, and rage. But I find when they're described this way, it is easy to not identify with them. We can just think, oh, that's something that happens to somebody else, but I, I'm not an angry person. I'm not a jealous person. I don't experience fear often. So we can kind of push them on to the things that happen to other people. In truth, we all experience more subtle forms of aversion on our yoga mats and throughout our day. And we come up against them quite often. So I want you to just check in with these more subtle forms. So think about the last time you were confronted with irritation, impatience, boredom, annoyance, frustration, resentment, sorrow. These are normal parts of our yoga practice and our lived experience. So I think in our yoga practice in particular, it's really important to note the distinction between aversion and a safe yoga practice. So when I asked people what yoga poses they avoided the most, a lot of people brought up poses that they don't do because of injuries. And it's really important to continue to not do those poses if you have an injury. So there may be certain yoga poses that you avoid or modify to keep your body safe because of an illness or an injury. And that might not necessarily indicate an aversion to that yoga pose. On the other hand, you may actually experience aversion on a mental level should you experience irritation, impatience, boredom, annoyance, frustration, or upset mentally when you are asked to take a modification to keep yourself safe in a pose. So it's just a check-in. When you notice when there's a yoga pose, or you might even be irritated if you have to drop a pose because of an injury. So aversion is different than not doing a pose because it's contraindicative for you. So that I just wanted to make sure we're clear on that. But aversion could still come up if you are irritated because you can't do that pose, or you're frustrated because you have to modify it. So I think you get it. We can bring our moment-to-moment awareness to check in during our yoga practice. When we observe and are open to the unpleasant emotions, we can notice the feeling, embrace irritation, impatience, boredom, annoyance, frustration, and resentment and sorrow with compassion and loving attention. Attention to aversion asks us to be present rather than run away or push it away or hide from it. When aversion arises, we can remember it's not personal. It's a visiting force in our mind. Remember, our mind is naturally shining. Our mind is naturally radiant and pure. Our mind is simply clouded over, and it's a distorted vision of our present moment experience. It's a gift to remind ourselves of how we are not accepting things as they are. And just noticing how aversion is a way that we try to continually make things better for ourselves rather than accept things as they are. We can notice how we're trying to change reality and exert control over our lives. When aversion rises, we can bring loving kindness, compassion, and forgiveness to this temporary state of mind. So just reflect on these teachings and how they relate to you in your life and your yoga practice, and set an intention for what you would like to receive from the remainder of this class. What is it that you are trying to birth, sustain, release, or rebirth in your life, and how can your practice best help you to do that? Okay, so once you've formed your intention, we're going to start to come into Trikonasana, one of those poses that many people avoid. It's a complex pose, there's no doubt about it. It requires a lot of rotation through your hips, it requires a lot of flexibility in the hamstrings, and it requires a lot of opening through your chest and your shoulder girdle. It's a full-on pose. So there's no doubt that it's a complex pose, and there's no reason why it doesn't surprise me that people avoid it. It's a pose that I avoided for a number of years. It's a pose that the more you prop, the more accessible it becomes. So I actually, when I lived in Ontario, we had a coffee table. I used to do it with a coffee table all the time. It's a great pose, only because the coffee table was right where I practiced. It's a great pose to do with a chair. So I actually am going to bring in a chair. Let me grab a chair. Okay, so put your chair at the top of your mat. So one of the things that is really important with the poses you avoid is to not avoid propping, because propping really helps to make the pose more accessible and over time really opens up the pose for you. We talk a lot about this in the membership community with our brain yoga classes, particularly when you support your yoga pose properly. We do a ton of restorative classes in the membership site in our brain yoga classes, because when you support your pose properly, your nervous system can relax, feel safe, and then guess what? Your whole body just opens up. So please don't avoid propping. Propping makes the pose safe, it relaxes your nervous system, and it tells your body that you're safe and your body will open up. If your body is freaking out and having to work really hard, then it's just going to, your nervous system is going to continue to be in sympathetic mode, fight or flight, and it's never going to open up. So take my word for it, and also all the people that have done research on this, and prop. Okay, I will get down off that soapbox on propping. Propping does not make you less than. It's gonna move you forward. Okay, so take your chair. Place your left foot underneath between the legs of the chair. You're gonna tuck your right toes under. This is also gonna make Parsvottanasana more accessible for you. Inhale, exhale, straighten out through both legs. So now you're opening up your backs of your legs. Turn your right toes out. Place your hand on the chair. Inhale. Open up your right arm. Well, hello, triangle pose. Aren't you feeling lovely today with that chair? Now, tell me in the comments if this does not feel loads better using the chair. And if your body doesn't feel loads better, and then your nervous system's gonna feel better, and guess what? And the next time you come to triangle pose, you're not gonna have that aversion to it. Your nervous system's gonna feel safer. You're gonna be making it more accessible for yourself. Okay, the same thing with revolved. We got this chair right here. You're gonna place your right palm down on the chair. You're gonna drop your right sit bone, and you're gonna lift your left arm up. So you guys will be able to lift your left arm more because of the frozen shoulder here. I don't have very much external rotation through my left arm. So I'm just gonna tuck my left arm behind here. Okay, and then we're going to come back down, and we're going to do this whole sequence on the other side so you can see what it looks like on the other side. So you're going to take your right foot between the legs of the chair, turn your left toes under, inhale, exhale, straighten out both legs. So there's Parsvottanasana, also much more accessible if you have tightness in your calves and your hamstrings. And then you're going to turn your back toes out for Trikonasana. Place your right palm on the chair, drop your right sit bone, and then you're going to lift your left arm up. So again, that's that, for me, this left shoulder lacks that external rotation still because of the frozen shoulder. So all I'm going to do is modify that for myself and just tuck my arm behind and open up through my chest instead. So with injuries, you're going to make appropriate modifications. And then for reverse triangle, you're going to place your left palm on the chair, drop your left sit bone, turn your left hip bone towards your right leg, and you're going to lift your right arm up. And because now you can see on this side, because I have good external rotation through this right shoulder, you're going to see because you've lifted the ground so much with the chair, you're going to find it much easier to do the revolved triangle with the chair. So I guarantee you, if you practiced it with the chair lots, keep pressing through the outside edge of your left foot, you're going to start to find this pose becomes a lot more accessible. Okay, and then release that down, and we're going to put this chair off to the side, and we're going to practice another pose that many people avoid, which is shoulder stand. I'm going to give lots of modifications and a lot of step-by-step instructions. You're going to need to place your mat perpendicular to the wall, and you're going to need a blanket for this one. So I'm just going to go get my blanket. Okay, so shoulder stand is another one where propping is essential. If you can have your shoulders on a blanket and your head and neck off the blanket, it creates a lot of space for your neck. And a lot of people don't like shoulder stand because it feels like it compresses their neck. And so that creates a lot of spaciousness. If you have multiple blankets, you can stack. I know a lot of people that stack quite a few blankets. The other thing that really helps is getting a good lift through shoulder stand. This takes a lot of upper body strength, but you can also, there's a hack, we'll call this a yoga hack. You can also use your strap for that. You need a good strap that isn't going to come loose. So see this one? It doesn't come loose. If it does, I used to have another strap that wasn't as good as this, and I would just tie it in a knot here. So I put a knot in. So make sure you do that. So you want it to be the width of your shoulders. So that right now this is set up the width of my shoulders, and you can stick your elbows in it, and then it's maybe a little tight. Maybe a little, but not, probably not. So that your elbows are in, and then it allows you to get your arms up your back when you're lying on your back. So I think I'll do that again when I get down there. I may not be able to do this because of my arm. It may not work for me, but we'll see. You guys will. We'll see if that works for me. That modification, I might have to loosen it just a bit. You'll see how much more you'll be able to get your arms up your back with that. So taking your time using these props make a huge difference. What you want to do is, let me show you the first modification. You are not going to do this if you have a neck injury and you're not supposed to pour weight through your neck. So there are certain people that do need to avoid this pose. So you'll know that if you've got degenerative discs in your neck, slip discs in your neck, osteoporosis in your neck. You'll know if you've had an injury in your neck where you shouldn't put weight on it. Don't do this. But there are many people that there is no reason why they shouldn't, and they avoid it because it's scary to them. So you're going to put your hip right up against the wall. And you're going to swing your legs around, and you're going to do legs at the wall. So this is a great way to start with this pose and to build up to shoulder stand. Then you can use the blanket. The blanket requires some setup, and this is where it's really useful to have more than one person around to have, this is where it's useful to go to classes and studios because they'll set you up and things like that. So you kind of have to visually see where your shoulders were, stick your blanket back in, and really take the time. This is not the time to rush through these steps. It's the time to make sure, see how that's all not straight. You want to really make sure it's straight and flat. So ideally I would have more blankets stacked underneath so that this was filled up as well. Okay. And then I'm going to come back down into my back, and then my shoulders are on. So this is kind of perfect. And my head is off. So that works well. And so see how much more space that creates in the back of my neck there. That's what we're aiming to do with the blanket modification. Just creates a lot of space, and that creates a lot of safety for your neck. Then you're gonna bend your knees, press into your feet. So I actually need that further away from me because now it's moving away. You're going to bend your knees, press into your feet, and then you're going to walk your feet up the wall. And here, you can keep both feet on the wall, which is a good idea. Or if you could take one foot off without kicking, you can do that. Or if you can take both feet off the wall without kicking, you can do that. Now here, see how my elbows are splayed out so much? This is where the strap comes in handy. So you can take the strap and you can place it around your elbows. And then what that does is, what kind of a mess do I have going on here with my mic? What that does is it really pulls your elbows in, which, as I said, it may or may not work in my body right now. Oh, it does. And then what's really nice about that, yeah, it doesn't really work for me because my left arm won't really externally rotate properly. It brings your elbows in, which lets you walk your hands up your back further. So it's a nice modification. So these are all tips and tricks for shoulder stand. Okay. So there's some things that you can have for your toolbox now, and then maybe there'll be ways that you can avoid shoulder stand less. It's a great pose. There's so many benefits to it. It's great for your thyroid, your parathyroid. It's very calming. It's supposed to be a very calming pose if it's not one of those poses that you avoid. It's a really good pose for you. Okay, the next pose that people avoid a lot, and then we're going to get to our final pose that people avoid a lot, is back bends in general. They can be really a scary poses, because they can create so much emotional release, so they can be mentally quite scary. The one I chose for this week is fish pose, because it opens up your throat so much and your chest so much, and you go on top of your head. People don't like all of those things. So I find people avoid this pose a lot. Unless you have any neck injuries that you can't do this pose, there's really no reason that you can't do this pose. So yes, the top of your head is tender, but you can take that weight mostly into your elbows and your forearms when you lift yourself up. It should be like the weight of a nickel on the top of your head. So, of course, if you have any contraindications because of neck injuries, you're not going to do this pose. You're going to take it. You're going to do the modified version with blocks, which I'll show you. Otherwise, this is a pose that is quite, that people are quite averse to because it is such a opening pose for throat chakra and heart chakra. It's one that is worth doing. So this is the modified version with the blocks, but you'll see the full version, or the version that's not supported, is quite a bit different because it opens up the throat chakra so much more. So you're going to lie down on your back, and the way that I really come to like doing it is to tuck your arms in right underneath you. And the reason why I like doing that is because it really opens up the chest a lot. So you're going to press into your forearms and your elbows. That lifts your chest. And then you just place the top of your head on the ground. So there's hardly any, there's no weight pouring through your neck, really. And then this also is a great counter pose to the shoulder stand you just did. And then to come out, you press into your elbows again, tuck your chin, and slowly lower down. And you're going to untuck your arms. And you're going to lie on your back with your palms turned up beside you for Shavasana. And today we're going to take a long Shavasana. I'm going to get Tim to time it. I'm going to do... we're probably going to do 5 minutes. Yeah, because this is a pose that even I, as we film, we avoid most of the time on account of not having enough time. And it's a pose that a lot of people avoid. They get up and leave. They probably press stop on the video. But today you're going to take a long Shavasana. So palms turned up beside you. Take a deep breath in. Exhale, let your breath fall out, and allow this to be a time when you receive your practice. You receive the physical postures. You are able to receive your practice physically, mentally, emotionally, energetically, and spiritually. So you're going to stay here lying on your back. I'm going to sit up and talk you through your Shavasana. So one of the things that came up that Linda said in particular about feeling averse to Shavasana is that she finds her mind races when she lies down in Shavasana. And this is not common when you come to stillness, because we fill our days with doing, you know, whether we're keeping busy with work, or we fill the stillness and silence with social media. We very rarely take the time to be still, and so we don't notice how much our mind is racing. And when you come to Shavasana, or these moments of stillness, you suddenly become aware of how active your mind is. And this is completely normal. This is what your mind does. This is what your mind does. It thinks. It's what your mind is supposed to do. And so this is perfect for aversion, because there is some frustration, there is some irritation, there is some anything but this, you know, I want to have a peaceful shavasana. So when you notice the racing mind, the busy mind in shavasana, bring awareness to the busy mind and just notice your busy mind and bring acceptance to it. Know that it's completely normal and that your practice is to come back to your breath. Let your breath drop down into your belly where there is space away from thought. And then when your mind wanders again, as it will, simply bring it back to your breath in your belly again. And if you do this 100 times, 100,000 times in the next 5 minutes, then you are being successful, because that is the practice, bringing your attention back to your breath, letting your body sink and relax into the ground here. Okay, so to finish up your shavasana, I have a poem for you. It's by Donna Faulds. It's called Allow. There is no controlling life. Try corralling a lightning bolt, containing a tornado. Dam a stream and it will create a new channel. Resist and the tide will sweep you off your feet. Allow and grace will carry you to higher ground. The only safety lies in letting it all in. The wild and the weak. Fear, fantasies, failures, and success. When loss rips off the doors of your heart or sadness veils your vision with despair, practice becomes simply bearing the truth. In the choice to let go of your known way of being, the whole world is revealed to your new eyes. Gradually allow your breath to deepen. Wiggle your fingers and your toes. Bend your knees. Roll to your right side and pause there for a moment. And then slowly make your way up to seated. So we'll finish our practice by gathering in the fruits of our practice first into ourselves, and then we'll offer them out into the world with our mantra, Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu, which means may all beings be happy and free, and may the thoughts, words, and actions of my life contribute in some way to the happiness and freedom for all. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Thank you so much for joining me for episode 319 of Namaste Yoga. If you like today's show, then be sure to like it if you're watching in YouTube, give it a 5-star rating if you're watching in iTunes, subscribe to my channel if you're watching in YouTube, and if you're watching in YouTube, then be sure to subscribe to my Living Your Yoga channel as well. And if you know somebody who would benefit from this class or who would enjoy it as well, then be sure to share it with them as well. I want to thank Hannah, Leah, and Eva for your donations this week. Thanks to you, we're able to share Namaste Yoga with loads of people just like you all around the world. You can make a donation right here to Namaste Yoga to support us in being able to offer free yoga classes all around the world once a week, every single Friday. We appreciate your support so very much. It helps us to be able to continue to run these classes. They are freely offered, but they're definitely not free for us to produce. If you would like to support us, you can also support us by leaving your comments. Today's question is, what yoga pose do you avoid most and why? We had so much response to that on Facebook. As I said, I'm going to do another class next week. So if you have a pose that you would like to see included next week, be sure to leave it in the comments. I'll be watching your comments on YouTube. We reply to all our comments. And if you would like a list of the antidotes to the 5 hindrances, I have a really handy PDF that I can send you. If you go to namasteyoga.com/319, the link is in the show notes. Then you scroll down, there's an opt-in box, you put your email there, then I will send you a list of the 5 hindrances that we're going to be doing over the next 5 weeks. And then there's also the antidotes to each one of the 5 hindrances. So it could be useful to have that in your journal as you journal about these classes over the next 5 weeks. And if you would like more support and probably the most avoided yoga pose, which we did at the end, which is Shavasana, then in our membership site, we have a whole class devoted to Shavasana. It's a long class. It's 48 minutes long. And the reason why is that we have connective tissue poses with the soft foam roller to prepare your body so you have more ease when you rest. We also have directions on how each dosha should lie for Shavasana. So there's different ways that you should prop your body depending on if you're Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. So it's really good to know. And that will make your Shavasana a lot more comfortable depending on your constitution. And then it's also very, very much guided all the way through to help you to integrate your yoga practice and to talk you through the letting go that happens at the end of a yoga class. So I highly recommend that class. If you'd like to become a member, you can click here below. Thank you so much for joining us. It was great to practice with you today. I'm sending you much love from beautiful British Columbia. May your joy be as deep as our Pacific Ocean. May you be as rooted as the trees in our forest, and may you be as strong as our mountains. Om Shanti, Namaste.
Melissa would love to hear your questions and thoughts. Please leave your comments below the video. Thank you for your reviews on iTunes and YouTube. Your reviews help us to share yoga and a yoga lifestyle with others around the world. If you have a question for Melissa, you can leave a voice message at melissawest.com, and Melissa may answer it in an upcoming blog.